Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the night beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many different ways. This one began with a bloody brawl in the darkness of an alley and ended in the glare of a fight arena with the winner and still champion, Old Kid Death.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
All that people need to make them happy, said Juvenal, are bread and circuses. And up to a point, I suppose the old Roman cynic was right. The promoter of the Metropolitan Arena probably never heard of Juvenal, but he would have agreed with him 100%. His fight club is a cut-rate monument to what the old Romans meant by circus, a place where gladiators meet regularly in combat. Its marquee flashed in the gathering twilight as I cruised past and crossed Madison and went up Clark, taking my time, for the night was young and the waking nightlife of the jukebox taverns might offer an incident for a story. But there was no inspiration there, so I kept going, cut through a cheap rooming house section and headed for the office. I stopped for a red light, and that's when it happened. A burst of footsteps pounded up from behind, and a man, his shirt blood spattered, his head bleeding, jerked open the door and piled in beside me.
Get going. They're after me. Hurry, please.
Who's after you?
Nigger's gun. Step on it.
I ran the light, noting several figures in my rearview mirror as they stopped running and turned toward a car at the curb. I made several turns as my passenger kept looking back. And finally, satisfied that we'd lost them, he leaned back, took out a handkerchief, and wiped the blood from his face.
Lost him.
He was a stocky, heavy-shouldered guy, rather good-looking in a rugged sort of way. The ridges over his eyes were thick with old scar tissue, and there was a dent in his nose. The ear facing me seemed in good enough condition, but the mark of his profession was on him unmistakably.
Oh, thanks, pal. Thanks an awful lot. Dirty rat.
There was more than just one of them. I counted three.
Or five. I took care of the other two. The rat I mean is the one who hired him to do the job.
Who?
Marty Bannon.
Bannon?
Yeah. Someone else must have tipped him off where I was staying.
This the same Marty Bannon who was up before the grand jury last month in that gambling investigation?
You must read the papers.
Oh, more than that, I covered the story.
A reporter?
I'm Randy Stone, the Chicago Star.
I'm Gunnar Evans. Right?
Yeah, I know. I saw your name on the marquee at the Metropolitan. You're fighting Pete Madigan tonight.
That's right. You've seen me fight before, huh?
Oh, yeah, but not lately. Not since you started your comeback. Last time I saw you was over 5 years ago when you nearly lifted the crown from the middleweight champ.
See, which way are you going?
Well, right now we're heading to the hospital.
What?
Oh, look, you've got to get to a doctor.
Not
your head
that. I'm okay.
Now, you look at...
It's just a scratch, I tell you. Don't let a little blood scare you.
All right, all right. Oh, there's a cop there by that street lamp.
No,
tell
keep
him
going. What... Please, I haven't got time.
What's that?
Look, Mr. Stone, I appreciate you helping me, but if I go to the cops now, they might hold me while they're investigating. I'll lose $2,000.
Your purse tonight?
More than just that. It's dough I put up to guarantee my appearance. Every dime I could scrape up. Look, I better get out.
I'll drive you to the arena.
So, thanks, but I'm going home first. Better pick up my manager.
I'll drive you there. I'm in no hurry.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Keep straight ahead. I'll tell you when to turn.
Good. What's Marty Bannon got against you?
I'll tell you someday, maybe.
Works for a gambling syndicate, doesn't he?
Works for it. He is a syndicate.
I wondered.
Turn here left.
You, owe him money?
The house right there on the corner.
Okay. The apartment house where Gunnar Evans lived was probably a very classy joint around 1910. I wondered what had happened to those fat purses he'd collected when he was one of the five ranking middleweights in the world. What had happened that he'd had to return to the ring to be a living punching bag for youngsters like Pete Madigan.
Well, thanks again.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
Nothing. Just a little dizzy, I guess.
Now, wait a minute. Come on, now, no fooling. You got to see a doctor.
I tell you I'm okay. I'll be all right.
Well, you better let me go up with you.
Stone, I appreciate all you've done, but you don't have to worry.
Okay, but you can't fight tonight. Not with that gash in your head.
Heck, I can't. Dan will fix it up. You just keep your mouth shut.
Dan?
My manager, Dan Morgan. It's above the hairline. They'll never notice. You coming to the fight?
You bet, and I'm going upstairs with you now, too.
I'm telling you.
Now, let's go. So we went up to his apartment together. He leaned against the doorbell like he was tired. When the door opened, he nearly fell in.
Gunner!
She was a little blonde with a baby face and eyes that were rhapsodies in blue. She shrunk back as he reached out to steady himself as though she didn't want him to touch her. And somehow the music in those big blue eyes vanished.
What happened?
Nothing much. Some hoods tried to jump me. I did all right. A friend of mine, Connie, Randy Stone, my wife. Come in.
Connie, is that him?
Gunner, I've been looking all over for you. What the Sand Hill happened? I told you to...
Holy smoke, what happened to you?
Don't get excited. I had a little trouble.
Yes, in the large economy size. Five thugs jumped him.
What?
Now, don't worry about it, will you? I'm all right. Just need to sit down. Randy Stone here helped me get out of it. Some abandoned switch, I think, Dan.
If you ask me, you better call a doctor.
Nobody's asking.
Well, he's hurt.
Will you shut up? I keep telling him I'm okay, and he keeps hollering for an ambulance. Lay off, will you, Stone?
What makes you think Marty did it?
Who else? He tried to proposition me into taking a dive, didn't he? He owns Madigan Body and Soul, don't he? He even told me he'd do something to me if I turned him down.
I'm gonna...
Well, why did you turn him down?
For $500, I should take a dive? For 500 lousy fish? Gun.
Well, why not? How far can you go? You think you're still a big shot, a headliner? Well, you're nothing but a has-been.
Now, take it easy, Connie. Gun.
I told him to take it. I told him. How long can he last? I'm sick of being broke all the time. We needed that extra 500. Why didn't he take it?
Because I'm going to beat Maddie, and that's why.
Oh, you fool. What good is it? You'll never hit the top again. If you can't think of yourself, what about me? What about that kid of yours?
Billy's your kid, too, now. Don't you forget.
My kid? Oh, no. Don't wish him on me just because I'm married to you.
Come
on. I'm sick of playing nursemaid, do you understand? And I'm sick of living like this.
Wouldn't be if you hadn't ruined me.
What?
You've stripped me of every cent I had, threw it away on parties, closed gambling, made me sell a little business I had to pay your lousy debts.
Why, you cheap, punch-drunk bum.
Now stop that, Connie.
I don't have to take that talk from him or you or anyone else. I'm through, do you understand? Through, as of now.
She almost ran from the room, burst into an adjoining bedroom and disappeared. Gunnar Evans stared at the closed door for a moment and then sat down slowly by the table. His face was gray and tired as death itself. Old Dan Morgan shook his head sadly and gently pulled Gunnar's head forward so he could have a better look at the cut on top.
Billy asleep, Dan?
Yeah, I put him to bed before you came in. I hope she doesn't wake. That don't look good, Gunnar.
He still got that cough?
He's better. I lit the vapor lamp by his bed. He'll be all right in a day or two. You know how kids are, sick one day, up the next. Hand me that back there, will you, Stone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Here.
Thanks. Connie.
Yeah?
Where are you going with that suitcase? Connie!
Well, that's the end, I guess.
Oh, she'll be back, Gunner. You know how she is.
Yeah, I know.
Now, be still. I want to fix
this. No, I want to take a look at Billy. Maybe he's uncovered.
A young kid?
Five.
She's not his real mother, huh?
No. Billy's ma died when he was two. Gunner married Connie 6 months ago. Thought the boy needed a mother. Some mother. She hates a little fella.
It's a shame.
Well, Aggie and me, we never had any children ourselves, but if we ever had, I'd want him to be like Gunner's boy. What a kid. Smart. I don't get it. How can any woman, even a gold-digging little witch like Connie, not want him? Still sleeping, huh?
Yeah. I'll have to see if I can get one of the neighbors to stay with him while we're gone.
Now, sit down. I'll get my back.
What about it, Dan? Don't you think this is a job for a doctor?
Will you keep out of this?
I was going to tell you, maybe you shouldn't fight tonight.
Dan, for the love of Mike, don't you let me down, too. Every cent I got is tied up in that forfeit. $2,000.
Well, I don't like the looks of it, but... Okay. You don't think you've lost too much blood?
Nuts. Get to work. Time's running out. We got to be at the arena pretty soon.
Yeah, very well. Hold still now. This stuff is going to sting.
Go on. I only wish... I knew who tipped Bannon off where I was staying.
A stone, a piece of cotton. There.
Oh. Here.
You didn't mention it to anyone, did you, Dan?
Of course not. Skin clips, a little jar of alcohol.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
You mean you moved out of here and you were living in a rented room?
He was only there the last 2 days. We were afraid something like this would happen if they knew where to find him.
Somebody must have tipped him off. They ain't bloodhounds.
It must have been a fluke. Somebody must have seen you around there. Collodion, round bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Why would Marty Bennett go to all that trouble to keep you from fighting tonight? The odds are 5-1 on Madigan, aren't they?
Maybe they are, chum, but Bennett don't bet on anything that isn't a sure thing. Thought he could buy me for a lousy 500. Well, he was wrong.
Easy, I'm almost through.
I figured it was safer to claim I run out and divide my 2 grand forfeit money with that dumb punk of his.
Well, for Pete's sake, what about the police, the boxing commission?
I open my yap and he start an investigation. Cancel a fight. And who's hurt? Bannon? Nah. What can I prove? I need that dough, Randy. I need it bad.
I watched the savage gash in Gunnar Evans' head close up and vanish under the magic touch of Dan Morgan's fingers. When he finally combed the hair over it and put away his tools, I was almost convinced that my concern had been overdone. Dan's fighter looked as good as new.
Now, you go into that bedroom and get a half hour's rest, Gunnar. Try to sleep.
But I gotta find a sitter.
Oh, forget it. I'll call my wife. Aggie will be glad to come over.
Oh, that'd be swell. I'd sure appreciate it, Dan.
She'd be tickled to do it. You know how crazy she is over Billy.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, why not leave him with us until you get straightened out?
I'll think about it.
And Billy can always find a home with Aggie and me, Gunner. I only wish I had him for keeps.
Not a chance.
You better get some sleep while you can. You need it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going. Oh, thanks, Stone. Thanks a million.
I went down into the street, got into my car. I lit a cigarette thinking of what was to come and hating it. Gunner didn't have a chance. The odds were all against him to start with. But now Marty Bannon and his thugs had guaranteed it. The more I thought about it, the sicker and angrier I got. I knew Marty's address from the last time the police had visited him. Maybe he ought to know he wasn't having himself a private party with Gunner. Maybe he ought to know that if he got too rough, I might just invite the 800,000 star subscribers. So I started up and headed northwest. Maybe I could put a scare into this mug. Bannon lived in a single penthouse apartment in the medium high rent district. I pressed the doorbell, and after a moment, a small peephole opened. An eye gave me a fishy stare, and the door swung wide.
Well?
How are you, Marty? Remember me? Stone, Chicago Star.
Oh, yeah, one of those poison pen artists. What do you want?
A little talk.
About what?
About Gunnar Evans.
Come in. All right, spill it. What's in your mind?
Who is it, doll baby?
Shut up.
Well, I like that. I only asked a simple... You.
Gunner's wife stood in the foyer entrance. Like Bannon, she was in evening clothes, wearing a gown that showed everything but good taste. When I saw, I knew who had tipped Bannon off where Gunner had been hiding, and who had sent those goons on a murder trail. It was Connie herself.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. Little-known episodes from the exciting annals of American history are presented in colorful, dramatic, factual manner on The Cavalcade of America, which returns over most of these NBC stations on Tuesday, August 29th. That's Cavalcade of America, returning Tuesday, August 29th.
I wanted to see Marty Bannon about the fix he was trying to muscle through on tonight's fight between Pete Madigan and Gunnar Evans. But when I saw Connie, Gunnar's wife, in Marty's apartment, I knew my words would be as useless as rain on Lake Michigan. It was she who'd betrayed her own husband and told Bannon where his thugs could find him. Her big blue eyes widened when she saw me and then hardened into chips of ice.
You get around, don't you, Stone?
Yeah, but it'd be tough trying to keep up with you, baby.
Connie, I told you to stay back.
What are you worrying about, Bannon? Gunnar Evans is bound to find out sooner or later. Probably sooner.
Who cares? I'm through with that dumb ape, and he might as well know it now as any time.
Look, dollface, I got enough to worry about without having a punchy mad dog on my trail. Too many big deals coming up.
What's the matter, Bannon? You don't think he's got enough against you already?
He can't prove a thing. You value your health, you'll forget you were here tonight.
I thought you were smarter than that. The guy who fools around another man's wife is like a rented tuxedo. He never knows who's going to spill something on him.
Be sure it ain't you. Now get out.
Well, maybe I had done some good. I didn't know. At least he'd know now that somebody else knew what was going on. He'd drop the rough stuff, the fight would go on, and if he tried anything afterwards, it'd be dangerous. I went back down to the lobby, walked out into the street. A taxi had pulled up to the curb, and the passenger was paying off the hacky. As I turned and stepped out onto the sidewalk, he turned around, and a cold chill hit me. It was Gunnar Evans.
Tom, what are you doing here?
Well, I bet myself that you'd win tonight, and I came here to make sure I'd have a chance to win the bet.
You won't, so forget it.
Why not? Why did you come here?
Well, I'm Stone. One sec.
No, wait a minute. What are you seeing Bannon for?
Out of my way.
You're supposed to be taking a nap and resting up. Why'd you come here?
Take the $500. What else?
Why? After what Bannon's done to you, after what you said, why? Why?
Got to think and lie in there. What was I gaining being so big and noble? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Your self-respect?
You can starve on self-respect. Look out.
What?
You can see your kid go hungry, your marriage go on the rocks. I got nothing to gain and everything to lose. So I'll take the $500. What does it matter? I'm washed up. I might as well face it.
But you can quit clean. You don't have to wind up crooked. You can get a job, do something else.
What? The only thing I ever done except fight is drive a truck, and I can't do that now.
Why not?
Because I'm half blind, you fool.
You're what?
Oh, I can see you well enough for anybody else who's close up. You don't have to see like an eagle when you're throwing leather. But I can't pass no truck driving test.
Well, I didn't know.
Wait a minute. A little bit.
I didn't know.
Nobody knows, not even Dan. You don't fight over 400 fights without losing something. With some guys, it's their brains. With others, their hearing or their teeth or their kidneys. With me, it's my eyes. Yeah, and my teeth, too. And the way things have been going, my brains, for all I know.
All right. Now, come on back home, kid. You don't need Bannon's dough. It smells.
No, but I need my wife. If I can find her and tell her I took Bannon's offer, well, she might come back. Get out of the elevator door. Move. I'm not breaking up my marriage for any $500. Bannon's on the 14th floor, ain't he?
Yeah, the 14th floor. Wait.
You coming along for the ride?
You're making a bad mistake, Gunner, going to Bannon's. It's the worst thing you could do. Now, come on.
Oh, preach, Stone. I'm sick of it. I made up my mind. Sure, I know. It's the end of the trail. So what? I never hit the championship gravy, and even when you do, it ends up like this lots of times. No dough, no eyes, no brain.
You still got brains enough to lick this thing, Gunner. Believe me.
Where's the button? Well, Stone, it's different when you're young. The promises sound good. World looks good. You read the stuff they print about you in the paper, you're great. Sure, it gripes me that everybody seems to be making off their fights except you. The gamblers, the crooked managers, the shady promoters. Of course, they ain't all that way. There are some pretty good guys, like Dan Morgan. He's the first honest manager I ever had. But there's so many of the others. So you bust your fingers. You can't sleep for nights on account your hands are like two big hearts beating with pain pumping through them instead of blood. You get your teeth knocked out. You can't breathe on account of your nose is busted. The years go by and where are you? What do you got?
Now one day you wake up and the fires inside you are out and you're like a furnace full of clinkers. You're an old man. That it?
Yeah. An old man. You know how old I am? 33.
Gunner, I wish you wouldn't.
Let go of me.
All right. If you must, you must. But before you ring that bell, there's something that... something you should know about what you're going to find in there.
Yeah?
What?
What is it? What are you trying to say?
Okay, Marty. I'll meet you right after the fight. Then we can... Gunner!
Gunner!
Marty, it's Gunner!
Open up! Open up, Gunner.
Gunner, it's no good. She's not worth it.
I'll kill her.
Come on, get a grip on yourself. Gunner.
Get away from me. Gunner, I'll break it down. Help me.
Gunner, for the love of Mike.
I told you to let me go.
Listen to me.
You ass work.
Whatever time had done to Gunnar Evans' legs, it certainly hadn't affected his punch. I went out like a shattered light bulb. When I came to, I was sprawled on my back in front of Bannon's penthouse apartment. The door was still locked, but I could see through it like it wasn't there. The simple reason that the main part wasn't. The entire middle panel was smashed through. Only the frame remained. I got up slowly. My jaw hurt and my brain was full of angry bees. I stepped through the broken door and looked around. I saw them. Connie and Marty lying at opposite sides of the living room. Their heads were twisted at curious angles, their necks purplish and swollen. And they were both quite dead. I found a telephone, I called the police and sat there a while trying to brush the fog away. My head throbbed as I tried to remember something I felt was important, but I couldn't quite recall. And then suddenly it came to me. The fight. The Metropolitan Arena. Evans versus Madigan. That's where he'd be. That's where I'd find the gunner. I stumbled to the elevator, went downstairs, found my car, and drove out to the arena. Hi, is Gunnar Evans here?
Is he here? He's fighting tonight. Don't you see the signs?
Yeah.
You're just in time for the main goal, mister. Ringside? I got one on the aisle, row 5.
Here's my press card.
Say, what's going on anyway, you know?
Meaning what?
I mean him coming in just a little while before the semifinal was over. His manager and the promoter was tearing their hair.
You say the main goal's about to start?
Bell for round 1 rang 30 seconds ago. You're covering the fight. Better get on in.
I headed down the main aisle for the press section of ringside. What was going on in that ring brought me to a standstill more than once before I finally got to the ringside and began easing my way around the gunner's corner. I couldn't take my eyes off him. The gunner was tearing into Pete Madigan with a slashing fury that brought the crowd to its feet and kept it there. This fight wasn't going to last any 10 rounds. I could see the gunner's manager, Dan Moran, standing at the ring apron, pounding it with his pistol.
Cross him! Cross him! Let him have it!
How are you, Dan?
Stone.
He's terrific.
I don't know.
March it! Get him now! Get him! That's a boy.
What do you mean, you don't know?
I've been trying to get him to box, but he won't. Look at him. He's fighting Madigan's fight. He can't last. His legs won't take him, not for 10 rounds. Something's the matter with him.
Yeah, something's the matter, all right.
When he finally showed up, he looked funny, acted funny. Something's happened. I don't know what. Hook him! Hook him! He's wide open! Turn up, baby! Watch it! Watch it! That's the ticket. Jab him, Dizzy!
All right, boys. Get that stool in there fast.
Okay, Dan.
Take his mouth, he shot. My gosh, he shouldn't be breathing like that after only one round.
Dan, I want to tell you something. Gunner's in trouble. He's terrible trouble. Any minute the police...
Listen to him. Something's the matter with him. Look, Randy, do me a favor. Go back to Gunner's dressing room and have a look at Billy.
Who?
Billy. Gunner's little boy. I put him to bed there.
What is he doing here? I thought your wife...
Yeah. Gunner showed up there just before he came here and took Billy with him.
Why?
Maybe he's afraid Bannon's hoods might break in the house and take it out on Billy. I don't know. Now, go on, will you?
Okay.
I gave one of the boys a buck to keep an eye on him. Make sure he's okay.
All right, don't worry. I went back down the ramp into the dressing room. Billy was sleeping on the rubbing table between several training gloves, big as pillows to keep him from rolling off. Dan had covered him with an old bathrobe and pillowed his curly head with some folded towels.
Cute little fella, ain't he?
It's a wonder he's been able to sleep through all this noise.
Yeah, but I guess he was just real wore out.
Yeah, I reckon he was.
Well, there's the buzzer for round 2.
Yeah, well, I'll go up and have a look.
Okay, mister.
I walked up the ramp, down the aisle toward the press section. Round 2 was a facsimile, it seemed, of round 1. How many rounds could a man go at this pace? He was pressing Madigan every second, a slashing, ripping attack, like a madman, I kept thinking. Like a bulb that flares more brightly than it ever has before, the instant before it goes out. Gunnar Evans was fighting the greatest fight of his career and the last fight of his career. And then he was down. Gunnar Evans was down. Certainly seemed that way. Gunner lay sprawled on the canvas like a puppet whose strings had been cut. He didn't stir as the referee's voice came through the pandemonium.
7, 8, 9, 10.
I walked down the aisle through a now hushed crowd. Nobody moved. When I finally got to the ringside, Dan and his 2 seconds were still working on Gunner. A scared, haunted look had begun to deepen the furrows of Dan's wrinkled face. Presently, the commission doctor climbed into the ring and knelt beside the fallen fighter. After a while, he looked up, pointing to the patched-up wound on Gunner's head. It had oozed some blood, but now it had stopped.
This man was hurt before the fight.
Yeah, he cut his head. I told him he shouldn't fight, but he insisted on going on.
In heaven's name, why?
He had a $2,000 forfeit posted.
$2,000.
How bad is it, Doc?
His skull was fractured before he entered the ring.
You mean that...
He's dead.
We went back to the dressing room, Dan and I. I tried to tell him what had happened at Bannon's apartment, but he didn't seem to hear. He shuffled along, his head bowed, his eyes red. We stared at the sleeping child, and I asked Dan, Gunner have any relatives?
I don't know. None that I knew of. No, Gunner didn't have any kin.
You mean Billy's alone?
Alone? Of course not. He's not alone. Billy's got me and Aggie, ain't he?
Well, then you better take him before the police get here. Yeah. Take him home with you.
Yeah. Yeah, poor little fella. He must be tired. Didn't open an eye. Yeah, I'll take him home. Don't want to take any chances. There's a cough coming back.
You going to keep him, Dan? Huh? You said you wanted him, didn't you?
You mean?
Gunner would have wanted you to have him.
Billy.
He's yours, Dan. For keeps. Your son. Well, 4 a.m. and another edition about to go to press, another sunrise about to dawn. The death of one cycle, the birth of another. Or maybe it's all one, like time itself. Well, I'm not going metaphysical at this hour. But I can't help thinking that Gunner Evans maybe wasn't such a failure after all. In a way, he's still punching, he's still alive, with a new set of dreams and a future ahead. Yep, in his son. I guess basically that's why our children mean so much to all of us. Like the philosopher said, they're our only chance for earthly immortality. I'll have to get married one of these days. Copy, boy.
Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's story was written by Irvin Ashkenazy with music by Frank Worth. The part of Gunner Evans was played by Don Diamond. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Nightbeat came to you from Hollywood. Programs, get your programs here. Wednesday evening brings you other great adventure mystery programs on this NBC station. Be sure to hear The Falcon, Mr. District Attorney, Richard Diamond starring Dick Powell, and Dangerous Assignment with Brian Dunleavy. That's Wednesday night for more stellar action-filled programs. Be sure to listen. Stay tuned for the first piano quartet on NBC.